I know Morgantown is slowly becoming more easier to drive in as our students begin to head home for the summer. We're sad to see them go. I know many still stay here during the summer, but we look forward to them returning in August as well. So today is the fourth Sunday after Easter, or more commonly known as Good Shepherd Sunday. Right? We always hear a reading about the Good Shepherd on this particular Sunday. And it's also the World Day of Prayer for Vocations, in which we pray for more priests who will have hearts like the one Good Shepherd. Therefore, I think it's fitting this morning to talk briefly about the priesthood in my homily. As our Lord said in the Gospel, "My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me." Now, after hearing this, I can't help but reflect on the gift of the priesthood. The Good Shepherd, Christ himself, knew the importance of not leaving us to our own folly, right? Not leaving us to our own demise. He fittingly instituted the sacrament of holy orders to entrust us to the care of priests to help us on our journey to heaven. Now, sadly, the first thing that comes to my mind whenever I think of this awesome gift of priests is that I feel that I need to apologize for my own failures as a priest and the failures of all of us who are priests and bishops. I mean, it's truly tragic that our own human flaws and errors often are seen and experienced with the people. We priests are not always good shepherds or models of the one good shepherd. And I'm personally sorry for any time that I've not reflected Christ the Good Shepherd to any of you. Now, I know that we priests will pay for that in purgatory, or perhaps even in hell. But despite the characters that we are, I still can't help but recognize the greatness of what priests do. You know, today we as a nation place so much emphasis on material things, and we are so concerned about taking care of our bodies and doing all that we can to make sure that we are healthy as we can be when it comes to our material being. But when we finally come to the reality of the importance of our souls, then we can begin to see the necessity of the priesthood in our lives. That's because people often don't see the necessity of the priesthood or faith until they are in the hospital or experience some life-threatening event. Archbishop Fulton Sheen acknowledged this. As he once said, "There is no such thing as an atheist in a foxhole." Now, sometime recently, I got called to Ruby, and I met with a patient. The patient was a so-called agnostic. Yet, after talking for a few minutes, I realized that his agnosticism was only a cover-up for a hurt that he experienced when he was very young. After talking with the patient for some time, he admitted he needed to go to confession. He admitted that there had to be more to this life than the godless life he was living. You see, as a priest, I am able to be an instrument of Christ to people in their times of great need. That's just what priests do. You know, I remember in my first assignment in Charleston, I'd meet regularly with a high school girl who was not Catholic, but was being drawn more and more to the church because of the church's moral teachings. She was disgusted at how society was going, and she saw the church as the one rational voice in a fallen world. Her friends made fun of her for meeting with a priest. Her friends were actually Catholic, but they didn't take their faith seriously. They even made fun of her because of the church's teachings on human sexuality and abortion. Now, I'd meet with her every few weeks, and she'd read more about the faith. Finally, on Pentecost Sunday of her senior year, she was received into the church. She went off to college and became an active member of her Newman Club. I was able to be with her in her moment of conversion and help her to embrace the Catholic faith when all of her peers we're running from it. But that's just what priests do. On Good Friday of this past year, Father Szabo and I, as you know, heard confessions from 10:30 a.m. until 5 p.m., taking breaks only for Stations of the Cross and the Good Friday service. In a world that pretends to not need God, priests know how much the soul actually yearns for God. We can't take away the spiritual harm caused by sin on our own. Only God can. And it is through the hands of the priest that God's absolution can be bestowed. But that's just what priests do. Even though the priest is imperfect, he is merely the instrument for the one good shepherd. Christ, the good shepherd, uses all of his flaws and imperfections of the priest to love his people. All right. Now, don't worry. I haven't forgotten that today is also another day, Mother's Day. For anyone who has heard many of my homilies, they know that I mention my mother a lot. Now, my father has deep faith too, and he's taught me many things in life, but I'll wait to talk about him till Father's Day. As for today, it's safe to say that the most probable reason I am standing up here as your priest is because of my mother's Catholic faith. Now, I remember that when I was on the baseball team at my Catholic middle school, our coach said we needed to have an extra practice. So he said to the parents, "How about let's meet this Sunday morning?" For a moment, there was all agreement. "Sure, sounds good." But then, my mother spoke up. "What about Sunday Mass?" The coach hadn't even considered that, because he wasn't going to Sunday Mass regularly. If ever there was a time when we were traveling because of sports or traveling on the weekend, my mom would find us a Catholic Mass that fit our schedule. You know, sometimes this even meant we'd go to a Spanish Mass. As someone who didn't speak Spanish, this seemed silly. But it wasn't about the language. It was about the Mass. My mother taught me that Sunday Mass was more important than sports, than friendships, than anything. God was to come first. One time, and this was long before COVID, my mother's priest pulled her aside after Mass one day. My mom receives communion on the tongue, and for whatever reason, the priest didn't like that. She must have been one of the few at her church who did. So he told her she should receive on the hand. She went home, and she looked up for confirmation, and she realized the church gave her a rite to always receive on the tongue. So the next time she went to the priest for Holy Communion, he went to give her communion in the hand, but she didn't put out her hand. She opened her mouth instead. She was not going to be bullied about her faith. He begrudgingly gave her communion the way she had a right to receive. Now, my mom loves the priesthood. She would invite priests over for dinner, and she told stories of her childhood priests to us as kids. When Pope John Paul II died, I remember we were at the mall shopping for spring clothes. My mom saw the announcement on the television in the food court. And right there, in the middle of Hagerstown Valley Mall, my mom began to cry. Why? Because it was the Holy Father. She would bring my sister and me in a stroller when we were very young and pray outside the abortion clinic in our town. She brought us to the March for Life each year, rain, shine, or snow. When my school had off because of snow, that's nice, we were still going to the March for Life. One time, my high school marching band director, and by the way, this was public school, wanted us to play a show that had some immoral and anti-Catholic themes to it. My mother thought that was inappropriate for high schoolers to be playing. So she went directly to the principal and said he needed to change the music. The principal pushed back, But my mother pushed back harder, and the principal gave in. So, yes, the witness my mother taught me of the seriousness and the beauty of the Catholic faith is probably the reason why I am a priest today. And that points to the pivotal role that a mother or anyone can play in promoting vocations and raising up shepherds for the church. The role of a parent or guardian is to keep the light of faith burning in their children. Now, to many, this seems like a heavy burden. Yet in reality, all that we have is a sincere love for God and His church. Now, as I mentioned at the beginning, our shepherds, our priests and bishops, are imperfect people like anyone else. Yet God still chooses to lead His people, lead His people in His name. Priests, with their personalities and gifts, or should I say even lack thereof, are present at the most crucial times of a person's life. Yet that's just what priests do. St. John Vianney, the patron saint of priests, gives us a wonderful summary in this regard. And so I'll close this Good Shepherd Sunday homily with a quote from him. He said, "Who put our Lord there in the tabernacle? The priest. Who welcomed your soul at the beginning of your life? The priest. Who feeds your soul and gives it strength for its journey? The priest. Who will prepare it to appear before God, bathing it one last time in the blood of Jesus Christ? The priest. Always the priest. And if this soul should happen to die as a result of sin, who will raise it up? Who will restore its calm and peace? Again, the priest. After God, the priest is everything. Only in heaven will he fully realize what he is. The priesthood is the love of the heart of Jesus." Amen.